See you. Take your Bibles. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll go there in a few moments. It's so good to see you. And young men, I want to tell you how much I enjoyed you singing tonight. It blessed my heart. And I would like to buy you a pizza tonight. If anybody in your group likes pizza, I want to buy you a pizza. And I'm going to give you $3, just $3 for all 16 of you. You get as much pizza as you want with that. And but I'm so glad. And it's so good to see my friends, Babs and Keith Patterson. They went to Baptist University of America. When they were seniors, I was in K-3, but we came up, and Miss Patterson, she's like a mother to me, and I appreciate them so much, and it's a blessing to see them. You kids, everyone know anything about them, call me up. I've got stories, but I'm so glad to be here. Otis, it's good to see you tonight. Man, I am so glad. I had no idea you'd go to church more than once in a row. And so I'm glad that you're here tonight. It's a blessing. Otis has preached for me, done a great job. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here. It's a blessing. Now, I realize that I am no longer in dog country. I know that there are a lot of Tennessee volunteers here. Is that right? Well, I want to tell you why. Any other dog fans here? Anybody? Oh, yes, praise the Lord. Got some people saved. I'm so glad and so thankful for that. Do we have any Florida State fans? Oh, we got one over there, you know. You got two. All right. Anyway, I want to tell you, does Florida State have any orange in their uniforms at all? Anything? Nothing. But Tennessee has orange. This is what I was told. You just tell me. I heard they wore orange so that they could play football on Saturday, they could hunt on Sunday, and they could do their community service on Monday. That's what I heard. I don't know if it's any truth to that, but I don't know. But I just, you know, that's what I heard. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For you look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plain that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do or drown. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the the time would fail me, to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, 24 times you find the word faith. I've gone through my Bible and I've circled those words of faith. This is my favorite chapter in the Bible. I quote this chapter to myself every day of my life. My wife says, if you keep quoting this, God's going to ask something of you. He may. And I want to do whatever God wants me to do. Amen. The word faith is mentioned 247 times in the Bible, only twice in the Old Testament, 245 times in the Word of God in the New Testament. But in the Hebrews 11, you find it 24 times it's mentioned. Pretty important subject. God said something once, it's important, but when he mentions it 247 times, he wants us to get it. Amen. Now, the person in here that's doing the best might not be the person with the most money. In fact, it might be the opposite. But the person in here that's doing the best for God is the one that's living by faith. Les Roloff said, the just shall live by faith. He quoted those verses out of the Old Testament. The just shall live by faith. And I think it's mentioned once like that in the New Testament. But now, I want to tell you this kind of faith. In fact, Dr. Adrian Rogers, the great Southern Baptist pastor I think it was Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, that ran about 10,000. And he's not my stripe and everything, but he was a holy man, a godly man. And when Dr. Roger, every Baptist preacher, you know, listens to him and loves to hear his voice, I sound like Mickey Mouse compared to Adrian Rogers, but he's got a great resonant voice. And Dr. Adrian Rogers, somebody asked him at the end of his life, they said, Dr. Rogers, if you could do it differently, what would you do? And he said this, he said, I wish I had taken more risk. Thought, my soul, a man that's running 10,000 in Sunday school, that means they probably had 3,600 in the nursery. I mean, can you imagine? He said, I wish I'd taken more risk. Dr. Clarence Sexton's a personal friend of mine. I called him the other day and had prayer with him after surgery. And we communicate back and forth from time to time. And Dr. Sexton, his mentor, his hero, was Dr. Lee Robertson. Lee Robertson pastored the great Highland Park Baptist Church for 40 years and 6 months. He had 700 missionaries that they supported every month. 700. Can you imagine that? They had a junior camp called Camp Joy. Every fundamental independent Baptist preacher in America loved Camp Joy because it was free. They didn't charge anything. So we loved it. And then we think about how he had the great Tennessee Temple University in its heyday, ran 6,000 strong. He had a church that ran about 12,000 in its zenith. And God touched that man in a great way. I don't know of any man in my lifetime that's had more influence on preachers and missionaries than Dr. Lee Robertson. Dr. Robertson died when he was 97 years old. Before he died, Dr. Sexton told me this. He said, David, you wouldn't believe what he told me. He said, I asked Dr. Robertson, Dr. Robertson, if you could do it all over again, what would you do differently? And Dr. Lee Robertson looked at Clarence Sexton. He said, I wish I'd had more faith. I thought, my soul. 700 missionaries a month. I thought he had all the faith. 12,000 people in Sunday school. Where is there any faith left? And this great man of God said, I wish I'd had more faith. What an unbelievable thing. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Now, how do you get that kind of faith? Let me give you three reasons very quickly before I get into the message. I've got 6 points, but if I tell you three and three, it makes it sound a lot better and it'll get over quicker. So in introduction, let me give you my first three big points. Number one, you get faith like this from God. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, one day the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and He whispered to you, said, hey, that's right, you need to be saved. What He's preaching is right. What He's telling you right. You need that. You need Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit and God birthed in your heart. And if it were not for a holy God, you could not go to heaven, but He gave you faith. It comes from God. Secondly, it comes from the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes from God, and faith comes from the Word of God. So I can read the Bible. I like to read the Word of God. That means what happened for David can happen for me. I can kill giants today. It means they cross the Red Sea, I can cross the Red Sea. If the walls of Jericho fell down, they can fall for me. Every April 15th, I march around the tax office in Henry County 7 times, hoping it'll fall in. My wife said, David, fell in, people be hurt. I said, right. But now, all those things that happened, every miracle that took place from the raising of the dead to the parting of the Red Sea, every single thing is possible for you and for me if we live by faith. We can do anything. Hey, you fellows, I want you to understand you can do anything. Whatever God puts in your heart, you can accomplish that through God if you'll live by faith. Now, but there's a third reason. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 while you're there. Just let me show you this right quickly. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7 says, remember them which have the rule over you. Husbands, that's not talking about your wife. Heard about a bunch of men that went to heaven and they got there at the pearly gates and Peter said, all right, I want all of the henpecked husbands, all of the henpecked husbands stand over here to my right. And all the men went over there except for one little spindly little fellow by himself stood over there and he made the announcement again. I said, all of the henpecked husbands go over here. And all the men, big giant men, went over there and stood there and one little frail fellow stood over there and I said, sir. He said, Peter said, sir, I said, all the henpecked men go over there. He said, are you a henpecked man? He said, yes, sir. He said, why didn't you go over there? He said, my wife told me to stand right here. But now remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Who speaks to you the word of God? Your pastor does. And the Bible says the next phrase, whose faith follow. Well, preacher, I tell you what, we just ain't never done it like that before. I say, praise God and good. Do something nobody else has ever done and do it. Don't get caught up on that. That's such a pitiful excuse. I'm glad they didn't say that when they stood there at the Red Sea. Now, but the Bible says you can get that kind of faith from God, from the Word of God, and from the man of God. You can get, so in other words, don't pray to hold your preacher back. Egg him on. Say, Lord, give him more. Make him excited. Lord, help him buy a bulldozer. Pull that thing in the parking lot. If you didn't do nothing but take a bulldozer and just put it on different sides of the church about every 3 weeks, make it look like something's going on. Now, you get this kind of faith from God, from the Word of God. That's why it's good to read the Word of God. And just listen to what God has to say. Now, let me get to the meat of my message. All that was for free, and it's still only 5 minutes till 7 in Alabama. 5 minutes after 7, excuse me. There are three rules of faith you must follow. It's right here in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Number one, faith is not logical. If you get out your pen and piece of paper and say, if I do this and this and this, then I can do this. Hold it. Time out. Not faith. Now, there's a fine line between faith and foolishness. And God's not asking you to empty your pockets of everything, but God is wanting to do something in your life. There's some young men He's trying to call to preach in here. There's some young people in here. He wants to surrender the mission field. There's some folks in here. I had a man tell me the other day, he sat in my office with tears in his eyes. He said, Brother McCoy, he said, I should have answered the call to preach, but I missed it. Had another man in my church walked on the platform on Sunday night. And a man that's in my sound booth, he came up and said, preacher, pray for me. I believe God's calling me to preach. He could have blown me down when he said that. And I said, I'm going to be praying for him. And I have been. But God wants to do something. But now, if you're saying, well, let me figure, hey, missionaries, don't try to figure it out. Faith is not logical. Amen. Think about Noah. No, I want you to build a boat. Yes, sir. I will. Did you know up to that point there had been no record of rain anywhere in the Bible? He said, that's right, Lord, I'll do it. Where do you want to build it? He said, build it right there. Lord, there's no water. That's all right. He said, I'll send the water. You build the boat. He said, I want it to be about a football field long. I want it to be 3 stories high. I want you to put a window up there. Told him all. He even told him the kind of wood to use. He said, I want you to get gopher wood. That's great. Because when he told his sons, he said, sons, I want you to go out there. Hey, boys, I want you to get us some wood. He said, all right, Daddy, what kind you want to get? He said, I don't care, just gopher wood. I like that. I thought of that myself. Isn't that good? Just gopher wood. So they came back and they built that ark. And I have to tell you something. You know, they laughed at him. They mocked him. Took him 120 years. And he built that huge boat, did a great thing, and people laughed at him. They laughed at him until God shut the door, and then the rain started falling. And don't you know, for that kind of rain to only rain 40 days and 40 nights, and to cover the earth and flood this earth, it had to be some kind of toad strangler to get that done. And those people, I imagine, don't you know, they were beating on that door then. Wasn't so funny then, but faith is not logical. I've often wondered, I wonder if they had woodpeckers in the ark. That has just worried me. I don't know. But the Bible says that faith is not logical. Think about Abraham. Abraham, where are you going? He said, I'm leaving. Well, where are you going? I don't know. When are you coming back? I don't know if I ever will. You taking your whole family? What's happening? I don't, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He said, I'll know it when I get there, but I'm going to keep on looking. And so Abraham did something that's like somebody getting in the car and say, we're going on vacation. Where are you going? I don't know. We're just going to go until we run out of money. Well, if that's the case, you at my house, you drive down to McDonald's around and drive back. I didn't say get anything at McDonald's. I just drive there and drive back. And faith is not logical. You can't figure it out. If you're saying, man, I mean, God's working my heart. Some of you young men, God's dealing with you, and you know it. You know God wants you to do something. There are other people in here, teenagers, that God wants you to do something. There are adults in here that you might have missed it. But I'm telling you, you'll never be happy until you answer the call to faith and say, Lord, whatever it is. But hey, if you're trying to figure it out, it's too late. Won't work. It's not faith. If you can see it and do it, it's not God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not logical. Think about Noah. Think about Abraham. Years ago, when I was in Bible college, Dr. Verl Ackerman, I don't even know if he's alive anymore, he was the pastor of First Baptist Church Hollywood in Hollywood, Florida. One of my dear friends, Fuller Helms, went to church there, and Fuller and I and a fellow named Ray decided to go down there to his church during spring break weekend of the college. It wasn't the same kind of spring break like it is today. We were going down there to work in his church for a week. And I thought we were going to do something great for God, but I had a car, so that's why they wanted me to go with them. Had a good car. 1969 Opel Cadet station wagon with a 1.9 liter S engine, which is one step above the Flintstones where your feet go through and you pedal the thing. But it was mine, and it was paid for. So we headed down to, Fuller got in his car, which is about as long as from here to that door back there. He got in his car and we went down. We left about midnight or so that night. And after, I guess, or sometime that, I don't know how all the logistics been. It's been 30 years ago. But we took off and we headed down there. We turned on something called the Florida Turnpike. How many of y'all have ever been on the Florida Turnpike? I don't know how it is now, but back then there was nothing on the Florida Turnpike. I mean, there wasn't even cars on it. There was nothing. We'd see exit signs that say, next exit for gas, 26 miles. Next exit for food, 35 miles. And there was nothing on the Florida Turnpike. I'm in my car with Ray. Fuller's in his car. We got them both packed to the gills with all our stuff. We're headed down to South Florida. I don't even know where you get on it at, but I got on that thing. We took off. And all of a sudden, about just after we'd been on there for a little while, I heard a loud noise and I heard a pop. And I looked down at my temperature gauge, and my temperature gauge went up in the red. I said, oh, my. And so I flashed my lights, and we both pulled over. That was back before anybody had cell phones. If you wanted to call anybody, you just said, hey! I mean, nobody had a cell phone, didn't text anybody, did anything, you know. If you needed somebody, you just had to holler at them. We need to get back some good old hollering days. And so anyway, we We got all ready. We pulled over to the side and we raised the hood. Smoke's coming out. And three of us walked around that thing tugging on our britches looking at it. And one of us said, you know what? I think the carburetor had a crack in it that caused the distributor cap to move over and made the tread on the back left rear wheel cause the gas cap to get a little bit loose. And so in doing that, it's called the windshield wipers to make this thing get out of time. And the timing chain broke. And one of them said, yep, that's what I was thinking. You know, that's what men do when you walk around tugging on your britches. You don't have a clue what you're doing. But you know, when your wife tells you to vacuum, you walk around that thing looking at it and say, I know how to do this. Somehow it's got a switch on there, but I worked with mine for an hour and I told my wife, I said, that thing ain't doing the job. She came over and turned the button on, that thing went, I said, oh man, that's better. So we looked at it and I said, fella, here's the problem. They're on that, and back then they had a breather on that thing on the carburetor, like a donut about this big. Some of you guys, they don't make them like that anymore. That thing was that big. And on top of that was half of a fan belt. And I looked at that thing and said, there's the problem, fan belt's broken. Fuller spoke up and said, you know something, Dave? He said, I heard that if you got a pair of pantyhose and you could tie it up, it could be a makeshift fan belt till you could get to the next exit. I said, well, I left mine in the dorm. Can I borrow yours? So he loaned me his and we tried it, but it didn't work. I said, the next car that comes by, stop and hope it's a big woman in that thing. Ask her if we can borrow them. But I'm telling you, nobody was coming by that thing. So Fuller said, well, I'll go call my dad. We just passed a sign that said next exit 26 miles. He said, I'm going down there to get my dad, call him and I'll be back. And so that would take an hour in travel. I said, all right, we'll see you in a little while. So Ray and I got off on the side. Now, think about that Florida Turnpike. There are canals going down the side. Those canals have lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. Lions and tigers and bears. I mean, the Loch Ness Monster came out of there. My mother-in-law came out of there. I mean, they are in there. So we were sitting there and Fuller left. And Ray and I had a guitar. And we're playing and singing, having a good time. And all of a sudden, Ray said, Dave, we've got to pray. I said, you know, you're exactly right. Now, nobody's come down that road. Nobody. We're pulled over on the side. The car's still steaming a little bit. We're pulled on the side. I laid the guitar in the grass. I said, let's pray. And I got on one knee because I kept one eye open looking at that canal because I don't want something to come out there and get me and grab me and take me off. So I began to pray, and I was so proud of my prayer. It didn't get anywhere, but I was really proud of it. I said, Lord, the Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You said, you have not because you ask not. You said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Lord, you said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and without me you can do nothing, but with God, all things are possible. And I'm praying away, I mean, I was waxing eloquent. When all of a sudden, a Florida State trooper pulled up behind our car. Never turned on his lights and everything. And I prayed. We didn't hear a thing. In the middle of my prayer, he got on the intercom and he said, boys, you need any help? And I said, oh God, I knew you were real. Yes, Lord. He said, I said, boys, you need any help? I said, yes, sir, Lord, we need help. I looked over my buddy. He was confessing things you wouldn't believe. Found out where my $20 bill went on my dresser in the room. Finally, I looked back and I saw that police officer and I nudged Ray and hit him and looked back there and he said, oh, I knew that. I said, oh, no, you didn't. But you was confessing. You didn't know anybody was there. And we told the officer what happened. Our buddy was gone. And so about an hour after Fuller left, he came back, crossed over the interstate. Nobody's coming. That one state trooper pulled over. We sat there for a while and he said, Daddy said he'd be here when he could. About an hour and a half, 2 hours after that, now it's about 4 o'clock in the morning. His daddy comes up the road, flashes lights, crosses over the median, pulls on our side of the expressway and backs up to us. Nobody's coming. He gets out of the car, Mr. Helms does, 4 o'clock in the morning, and guess what he's got in his hand? He's got a fan belt for a 1969 Opel Cadet station wagon, 1.9 liter S engine, one step of the Flintstones. He's got it right there in his hands. I said, praise God, how'd you get that? He said, fellas, you wouldn't believe it. He said, I got on the phone. And I'm telling you this now 30 years later because I've got so much confidence in God. He said, fellas, let me tell you what happened. He said, at 2 o'clock in the morning, he said, I just called the parts place. He said, I don't know why, just something told me to call them. He said, the phone rang a half a time, and the guy said, what? And I said, what do you mean? He said, you called me, what do you want? I said, well, I need a fan belt for a 1969 to open good at station, one set by the punch. He said, hold on a second. He came back and said, I've got one. If you come down here now, you can have it. So he said, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I went down there to the plant. I got there. There were police cars everywhere. There were lights going. They were pulled up. And I said, and he said, great day. What in the world's going on? Fire trucks, police cars, all kind of stuff. He said, when we got there, he said, all of a sudden, I asked the guys, what happened? He said, well, they told me that there'd been a break-in. The fire alarm, the burglar alarm was going off. Said somebody had broken in. We got here. There's no evidence of break-in. Nobody did anything. They said probably a rat ran across the floor and triggered that alarm and it went off. And I thought, man, God did that for three boys on the side of the road that needed God's help. And God can send a mouse, a rat, or do whatever. Now, in Georgia, that'd been pretty easy to do because we got some big rats in Georgia. I pastor a lot of them. But you know the rats in Georgia because you hear them. They say, here, kitty, 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 kitty. They're bad dudes. But I'm telling you, faith is not logical. You can't figure it out. And I believe that God did that for three boys and that God said, I'm going to do this for them. And for 30 years, it has hung on me. And I have been so thankful because I know that God is able. Why don't we pray and say, Lord, I know you can. Will you do it? Amen. Faith is the victory. The faith is not logical. Number two, here's a tough one. Faith is not comfortable. Get you out of your comfort zone. The Bible says women were tortured. It said women raised their dead. Their dead was raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. They were sawn asunder. That means cut in half. Last time I was cut in half, it didn't feel good. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. The world wasn't even worthy to do what they're doing. Faith is not comfortable. If you're counting on getting something just in a rosy bit, forget it. Forget the ministry. I'm telling you what, there's nothing like it though. Faith is not logical. Faith is not comfortable. I was preaching for Brother Paul Chappell several years ago when the Lord gave me this sermon. On a Friday night, I was flying out. I'd been preaching for him. And on a Friday night, I was going to leave and my wife and I were going to fly back. On Friday night, we would fly back on Saturday afternoon, but Friday night I said, sweetheart, I'll be back in a little while. I just began to walk through that campus and just begin to pray, and tears came to my eyes. I said, Lord God, use me to do something. Lord, help me. Lord, do it again. Lord, and by the way, what is going on at West Coast Baptist College right now is the same type of thing that was going on at Tennessee Temple in its heyday. And the little spots across the country that I see, Crown College, West Coast, Golden State, where God is stirring the nest again and God's doing some great things. And I'm sure there's some others, but those three come to mind just like that. And I began to go through and I was praying. Well, then on Saturday, we got on the plane, we're flying back, and I pulled up my Bible. My wife said, are you studying for Sunday night? I know you got a Sunday morning message. I said, no. I said, I think God's changing my mind. I'm going to preach what I had Sunday morning. I'm going to preach Sunday night. She said, what are you going to preach on? I said, I'm going to preach on faith. And I said, I got 3 points. She said, what are they? I said, I don't know yet. I said, no, I got three of them. I don't know what they are. And I said, sweetheart, this is what I think. I think you get faith from God, for by grace are you saved through faith. I think you get faith from the Word of God, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I think you get faith from the man of God, whose faith follow. She said, oh, I like that. That's pretty good. She said, those are your 3 points? I said, those are my three intro points. I said, let me give you my 3 points. I said, now I begin to study. And finally, after a while, I smiled and looked like a light came on. She said, you got your first point? I said, I do. She said, what is it? I said, number one, I said, faith is not logical. And I told her about that and about Abraham and Noah, and God began to put it on my heart. And I said, number two, and after a while, I went back studying. And after a while, I said, number two, faith is not comfortable. She said, oh, that's pretty good. I said, think of all the people that were tortured in the Hall of Faith chapter in chapter 11. All the people that were suffering for their faith. See, sometimes we have it so easy. We've got it all figured out. God wants somebody to please Him through faith. What are you doing by faith? What are you doing? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Number three, we're flying back, been studying for a while. And all of a sudden, tears began to come down my face, hit my Bible. She said, "What is it, sweetheart?" And I said, she said, "You got your third point, don't you?" I said, "I do." She said, "What is it?" I said, "Well, I told you that faith comes from God and from the Word of God and the man of God." I said, "And faith is not logical, and faith is not comfortable." I said, "I got the third point." She said, "What is it?" I said, "Faith is not negotiable." She said, "Oh, I like that." The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That means somebody needs to go to God and say, "Lord God, I know that you're sovereign and you're God and you're holy and you're right and you're never wrong and you know what to do." The verse was quoted, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Lord, it's just my responsibility to try to be a good man. You take care of the rest. And it's something that we just listen. I said, "Faith's not negotiable." "Well, if I can do all this, then I'll do..." Oh, no, no. You either have it or you don't. Now, some of you, all you've got is enough faith to get you saved. Praise the Lord for that. But there is so much more. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." What about Paul? He suffered, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, and all the things that happened, he was thrown in prison. He wouldn't have had it any other way. He was so happy in Christ. And everywhere he went, he was winning people to Christ, telling them about Jesus. Folks, I want to tell you something. Listen to me, fellas. Faith is not negotiable. God makes no deals about His faith. God's not saying, "Okay, you didn't know." We step out by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out in a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he had to step out first. One of God's calling some of you to preach. One of God's calling you to some of the mission field. One of God's calling you to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a missionary. And God's not asking you to go tonight and volunteer to go down to the Amazon and battle with the cannibals or whatever. He's not doing that. Now, He may. God's not asking you to empty your pocket and give everything you've got. He's not asking that, but He may. Heard about somebody the other day told me that there was a group of cannibals sitting around eating. And the man cannibal told his wife, he said, "I don't like your mother. I don't like my mother-in-law." She said, "Okay, we'll just eat your vegetables." Some of y'all. I like it when somebody's looking out there and they're just sitting like this and they're saying, "He ain't funny." Yes, I am. Listen to me. Faith is not negotiable. My daddy's died November 29th. Before that, for 3 years, he had cancer. Twice, he was totally, completely healed. The first time he had cancer, they said, "If you don't do something in 6 months, you'll be in a lot of trouble. You'll be gone." So for 13 months, my daddy went on a health food kick and lost a bunch of weight and helped him, but it didn't help because he started too late. And he had a tumor come up on his neck. They told him he had 6 months, and he 13 months before he took his first drop of chemotherapy. They gave him an IV, put a port, I think, in his chest, and they gave him an IV, and they said, "This will last 8 hours every other Wednesday. You come here." And for 6 weeks, my daddy never one time missed a Wednesday night service, never missed Thursday night visitation, until the last one knocked him down. But he had a big tumor coming up on his neck, changed his breathing. He was healed completely of cancer. Then it came back the second time. The doctor told me, he said, "Mr. McCoy," he said, "your daddy has a very rare, aggressive cancer." He said, "We can make it go back, but it's going to come, it go away." He said, "But it's going to come back." And he said, "It's going to come back more aggressively, and each time it won't respond as well to the medicine. It builds up an immunity to it." He said, "Plus the fact that we're dealing with an 80-year-old body." He said, you got a lot of strikes against you. The doctor told me and told my dad that. My dad said, "Sir, my faith has not wavered one bit. I'm going to see the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm so happy and so glad." My dad began to witness to him. Well, he got healed of cancer twice. On the second time, they gave him some stuff. They said, "This stuff will last for 8 minutes. They said, if you spill this on this floor, we'll have to evacuate this hospital." That's crazy. And they put that in your body. Well, they took the chemotherapy and the third one didn't get it done. My choir was singing on a Wednesday night after church, and they were practicing. They normally sing in the choir room on Sunday mornings or Sunday afternoon they practice, but tonight they had something special going on. So after church on Wednesday night, I sat on the front row. People were leaving, they're talking, they're fellowshipping, and the choir's up there and the song leader's leading, and I leaned over to my daddy, and he's got that tumor on his neck, and he's got one bulging in his side, and he had it in three or four places in his abdomen, in his neck, and under his arms. And my daddy, I said, Daddy, it could be God's getting ready to call you home. He said, yeah, son. I said, Daddy, let me ask you something. Are you afraid? He said, oh, son. He said, my faith is about to become sight. He said, son, what I've been preaching about all these years, he said, I'm going to see Jesus face to face. He said, I'm going to be able to talk to him. I'm going to be able to hug his neck. I'm going to be able to hold his nail-scarred hands. We sat on the front row. Tears were coming down my eyes. He said, son, don't weep for me. He said, I'm telling you what, I've never been more excited. But that was before he was cured the second time, and he was completely cured. My daddy walked up on church on Sunday morning, asked if he could do it, and he starts singing, "Somebody touch me, somebody touch me." Starts singing. Our church just, and he told them how there was no cancer. They just shrieked with glee, and they applauded and clapped. And he stood there and sang that man of God, same man that read his Bible through one time. I found out read his Bible through 12 times in 1 year. Read it through every month for 12 months. Man that studied his Bible and loved the Lord. He said, son, my faith is about to become sight. Man, what a great man of faith. Can I tell you something? Faith is not logical. Faith is not comfortable. But faith is not negotiable. I don't know what God wants you to do. But I guarantee you this, if you're going to please him, it has to be of faith. If everything you did is where you can cross the T and dot the I's, what is it? That's what you can do. Faith is when you do all that you can do, and then God takes up the rest. But I'm telling you what, there's no greater joy in all the world than to live by faith. Adrian Rogers said, I wish I'd taken more risk. Lee Robertson said, I wish I'd had more faith. Wonder how much faith we've got in this room. Jesus said, if you had a mustard seed, which is a very small thing, he said, if you had that much, you could move mountains. You could do all kinds of things. Well, preacher, I'm saved. I've got my hell insurance, and I'm going to heaven. That's all I want. I just want to tell you, there is so much more. Esther Roloff used to stand and sing, living by faith. I care not today what tomorrow may bring. Whether sunshine or rain, we lived by faith. Faith is not logical. It's certainly not comfortable. It gets you out of your comfort zone. But it's not negotiable. I would like to get to heaven with the shield of faith smoldering, with the fiery darts of Satan stuck in it. Say, Lord, I'm here. Do you have the shield of faith? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. How many could say, preacher?